This Psalm of David, which was written for the purpose of reading it on Sabbath, this Psalm cries to the people of God that they must all understand that God is righteous. He is righteous, not only in his essence and character, but is also righteous in his providence. And for that reason, we must not fret. That means we should not be anxious, especially when we see others prospering and succeeding before us. And the reason for this command, which comes from David, is due to his understanding of the human heart as well as the ways of God. David understands that when one loves God, he or she would be more patient with God. On contrary, the less the love you have for him, the less patience you will be able to exercise. And our love for God corresponds to our level of holiness. That means the more holy we become, the more patient we are. And sadly, we do not understand the word patience as Bible describes it. The world has its different way of describing the word patience. But when the Bible says, love is patience, or be patient, the word of God is not suggesting that switch to some other tasks if things are not working according to your timetable. Just so you can take your mind off of those things which are unbearable to you, or which agitate you. However, the Bible encapsulates the word endurance in patience. It doesn't matter when it speaks of patient endurance or simply patience. It presumes that we will be enduring while we are exercising our patience. The whole imagery is like that God wants us to face things that agitate us the most. And when God does that, he does that to the point it reaches the bottleneck of our souls. And then we burst out. But because he is gracious, he starts the whole process all over again. And next time, the same burden, the same thing is more unbearable. And he keeps on doing that, not just to stretch us, but to give us a disposition where we always remain thankful, irrespective of how further he wants to stretch us. The goal of patient endurance is that our trust in him is not altered, no matter how further we are stretched. In Psalm 37, David writes to his people saying, endure, be patient, endure. Even when you do not understand what God is doing. And that is the key to a godly life. That is the key to a godly life. But he also says that God tests our patience. And then how much we trust him is revealed. And God has all the right, He has all the right to test our patience, to test our faith, because there is no fault in Him. He is righteous in every fiber of His being. For instance, as Psalmist says, in case of righteous, He knows the days of the righteous. He delivers them from the evil one. He blesses His children. He rewards the works of the righteous. But as for the wicked, He laughs at them. He thwarts their days. He breaks their arms. He makes their children beg and even cut them off from the land of the living. And when we observe these qualities of God, I think psalmists are right. There is no one who's righteous. None. Except God. Except God. And if that's the case, I think we can trust God for our providence, for His providence for our lives. And David says that the only way to show our trust in God and in His providence is to patiently endure in what all God is doing in our lives. So as discussed in our previous messages, David gives us four ways which will reveal or reflect our understanding of the divine providence of God. From verses 1 to 6, he tells us to persevere in our faith so that we can enjoy the blessings of God. If you remember, he gives us two ways to do that. From verses 1 and 2, he commands the people of God not to be anxious. Not to be anxious when they see the wicked prospering. And second, from verses 3 to 6, he commands his people to trust in God because he will fulfill the desires of their hearts. But that's just the first way. The second way, which we discussed last Sunday, was he commands the people of God and by extension to us that we should hold on to our integrity because the times of testing are coming. We should hold on to our integrity because the times of testing are coming. And he gives us three ways how to hold on to our integrity. From verses 7 to 8, he again commands to persevere in order that we do not do anything evil. From verses 9 to 11, he commands his people to remind themselves that God is a righteous judge who punishes the wicked and rewards the righteous. And thirdly, that we should trust God because He delivers His people from the evil one. In these three ways, we can hold on to our integrity during times of testing. So today we will try to finish the entire psalm. I think it shouldn't take long. We'll try to cover from verses 21 to 40, the third and the fourth way to understand the righteous providence of God. The third, verses 21 until 33. David tells the people of God and to us that we should demonstrate our faith by living a life of wisdom. That we should demonstrate our faith by living a life of wisdom. Now, it is quite obvious for people to think that a man who prays more, the man who reads his Bible more, a man who reads lot of books or even gives sermons on topics like these, to represent them as wise. But according to David, the people of God ought to show their faithful and godly lives by their generosity. They ought to show their godly and wise lives by depending on God as they plan out their entire lives. They ought to show their faithful and wise lives by trusting God that he will provide food for him as well as for his family. And it is, and they ought to show a wise and faithful lives by turning away from evil. But above all, they can show their faithful and wise lives by keeping the law of God in their hearts. So in short, our pursuit of holiness is not just restricted to our devotional life or our readings or our service in the church. It includes paying off our taxes. It includes paying our credit card bills on monthly basis. It includes keeping our word to God as well as to his people. And the list goes on till the point we don't become like his son Jesus Christ. Till the point we don't become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. The parameters of holiness become more and more complex with time, with experience, and with knowledge of God. The whole point is that we cannot be wise unless we are not holy, and we cannot understand the righteousness of God unless we are not living a life of wisdom. So David commands us to pursue a life of holiness and a life of wisdom. Fourth point, from verses 34 to 40. David commands the people of God that we should persevere in our faith because he guarantees salvation and peace. That we should persevere in our faith because he guarantees salvation and peace. David, in these verses or in this section, again commands his people to wait for the Lord, because he will vindicate them, he will give them salvation and deliver them from the evil one. And all the commands about waiting and marking are found in the promises of God. They are found in the promises of God. There is no point of waiting if God has not promised us vindication. There is no point of observing the holy people or all the blameless if there is no peace for the righteous. There is no point of hope or having a hope in God if it does not promise salvation and deliverance. In short, we should persevere in our faith because God has promised us a reward, he has promised us blessings, and he has promised us salvation and deliverance. And if he can provide all these things to those who hated him before, how much more he will provide to those who love him now? If that's the case, we can say that he is righteous. He is righteous. There were times when we were not righteous, and he gave us his own righteousness, that we can receive the rewards and his rewards and his blessings. And we do that by our faith in Jesus Christ. It is by our faith in Christ that we understand the righteousness of God, that we understand his righteous providence. And Paul does say something in similar lines what David is saying. And he says that in Philippians chapter 3, where he exhorts his readers to follow his example as far as he's following Christ, and to press on in faith, holding to that which we have received, because our Savior is coming. So we should stand firm in our faith, rejoicing and praying for one another instead of being anxious. And in the end, he will bless us with the peace of God. So to summarize, David and Paul, both of them, would say that in order to understand the righteous providence of God, we have to do four things. First, we must persevere in our faith in order to enjoy His blessings. We must hold on to our integrity because the times of testing are coming. Third, we should demonstrate our faith by living a life of wisdom. And fourth, we should patiently wait for the Lord because He brings peace and salvation to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for Your word and Your spirit, and especially for Your servants, David and Paul, who have taught us about Your righteousness and about the righteousness in Your providence. So we ask You, Lord, that You would help us to understand Your divine providence and also to embrace it. We know that there is no good except You. And if You provided and designed the things in our lives the way they are, we give You thanks for them. We do not know, Lord, what is ours or what belongs to us, but we do know that everything belongs to You. And in that we rejoice and surrender not only everything we own, but also ourselves. In Jesus' name, Amen.